Well, I don't know if you saw it this week or not, but it's all around our town. Did you see it this week? It's everywhere. Yes, ice and snow is everywhere as well, but that's not what I'm talking about, although metaphorically, it could be used for that. It's all around our town. It's all around our hearts and our homes. To varying degrees. What am I talking about? Slavery. Okay, did you see it this week? Men and women weighed down. Men and women chained by debt, by sour relationships, by gossip, mental illness, addictions of all kinds, woundedness, bitterness, a lack of self-control, bratty children maybe, cancer, anxiety, and fear over the certainty that any day, but definitely one day, we will all die. Did you see it around town this week? Did you see whispers of it in your own heart? Slavery. Every human is born into slavery, to sin and death. Our hearts are corrupt, our future hell. We are not free. We are disconnected, unplugged from the author of life and the source of all that is good. But thanks be to Christ, we can be free. And thanks be to Christ, many of us in this room are free. Free from slaves, being slaves of self and Satan, to becoming sons and daughters of God. By faith in Jesus, we are born again, and from the inside out, His Spirit brings life where there was death. And yet, at the same time that's happening in our lives at conversion, in our lives in a journey of faith, so much of our known world, our experienced world, our outside world, the other side of our faith and the other side of conversion, the outside remains the exact same. Cancer is often still there. A lazy spouse is often still there. A rotten boss is often still there on the other side of us humbling ourselves before the cross and receiving the gift of salvation. Taxes, debt, entitled children, lust, addiction, fatigue, and the like still surround us, even after we've confessed Jesus as our Savior, even though our inner man, our inner spirit has been reconnected with Him. And these things from the outside, they press in on us, they tempt us, they trip us, they test us, they weigh on us, and quite often they knock us down. How on earth is a new creature in Christ to live in a body that is corrupt and broken, a mind that is wired for self-defeat, and a world with people and systems that bring further brokenness into our world? How do we rewire our brain? How do we filter our emotions? How do we fight our flesh? How do we stay positive, hopeful? And how do we navigate the people that are in our lives and the circumstances and events of our life and of our world? Well, I can tell you this, that if it was disconnecting from God that got us into the mess in the first place, then I think connecting with Him seems like the logical solution. But if you're like me, that's not the easiest thing to do, is it? To reconnect with an invisible God. He's not there in the flesh. He can't come over and give you a hug when you feel down. You can't hear Him speak as though an earthly father can speak to you loving encouragement or good advice for the road ahead. He can't show you in the flesh the exact steps and pace that you are to take and what you're to do with your life. When I think about that, I wonder if only there were some like-minded people who could encourage you, who could give that hug, who could model the way for you, who could challenge you when you're not walking on that way and support you when you feel weary or you are depleted in this journey and this relationship of faith. So wait, that's the church. If only he would give us hints and nudges in the nuances of life's crossroads and boosts up the hill when we feel fatigued. Oh, wait. That's the gift of his Spirit and what he is all about. If only he could make a way for how we are to live, to tell us what we're to do with our lives, what we are to do, what we are to say in a clear, black and white manner. But wait, that's what the Word of God, the Bible, is all about. It's as though we're like little kids, and rather than him coddle us for eternity, it's like he wants us to grow up into mature versions of who he made us to be, into complete versions of what we were created for. It's like him going up to heaven and no longer having God in the flesh through his Son, Jesus. It's like he's removing some stakes or some protections in this world that we might be battered and we might be a little bit lonely at times, that we might be insecure and uncertain at different times. But yet somehow in that storm and in those seasons and those experiences of life, he's using those things to help us grow up into maturity. But if you're like me, you still wonder, if only there was a manual, how to? A flashlight to point us in the direction that we are to head in the darkness of our world, to show us the very steps that we are to take and the pace in which we are to engage those steps. Oh, wait, there's the Bible. In fact, he says it very clearly in Psalm 119, 105. Many of you probably know this off by heart. It says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path." Jesus also said in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, he said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, connect and align and draw your life, your sustenance from my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Remember the slavery I mentioned just a few minutes earlier? The truth will set you free. There are many essential, even critical spiritual disciplines, but I don't think there are any more primary or foundational as the Word of God, as the place that this book is to hold in our lives. You see, what I see missing from the church in general, ours included, is a deep love, a deep respect, a deep hunger, and an utter dependence on the Word of God, where there is a yearning, a hanging on his every word, an unequivocal trust in what he says. That we freak out when the Wi-Fi goes down for an hour or a day, days, or the power goes out for an hour or a day or days. That we freak out when the Wi-Fi or the power goes down. But if we miss a day or an hour or 2 days or a month without digesting, nourishing our soul in the Word of God, that it's no big deal. That is symptomatic. That is telling of something very severe, very serious. I can't think of a symptom more telling, more tragic than that. A symptom of what, though? That we didn't have our Bibles with us? No. A disconnect, maybe a distance, a coldness of heart towards the giver of life and the lover of our souls. Now, I know that the majority of the Bible is hard to understand to biblically illiterate 2017 Christians. I know learning how to read, period, learning how to read English is hard work. I volunteered last year every week in my kids' class, helping each kid learn how to read. I know the annoyance and the frustration and the hard work that it takes to get a child to learn how to read. It's difficult for both parties. And yet reading, even though the Bible is in English, it often does feel like reading Greek. The vocabulary, the references, the cultural values of that day are so distant and so foreign to ours today. It takes hard work to read the Bible, to understand the Bible. Yeah, we can just skim over the words, and yes, we understand the English language, but to actually really understand what it's saying, it does take work. It is not easy for someone in 2017 to pick up the Bible and to understand what it's saying on each and every page. And yet, because of the grace of God more than any other generation, we have a massive amount of resources and aids, from commentaries to dictionaries to animated videos even, and podcasts, all available at the click of a button, that we might understand what any word, what any verse, what any chapter, what any book of the Bible is saying. Over the last year at our church here, we've had a number of groups of committees, planning committees, that have been gathering and thinking and praying about how do we move in an intentional way towards becoming, with greater clarity, with greater maturity, the church that God has called Parkside to be. And one of the recurring things that keeps rising to the surface from various groups is, how do we get people, Parksiders, into the Bible as a part of their daily diet? It's like if physical health was the most important aspect of life, we'd be asking the question asking ourselves a question: how do we get every Parksider ripped? Six packs everywhere, that's what we want to see. And while physical health is important, spiritual health is the priority, because it is the cornerstone or the fount from which all of life flows for health in all areas. What good is a six-pack if you were a jerk to your family or thought admission to heaven was based on your body fat percentage? The Bible is black and white. Read it as plain as day. It is the way to know the truth, to nourish our soul and bring health to our whole being and to our world. I watch not just non-Christian families, but Christian families, Christian marriages, and Christian individuals just spinning their tires in this life. They are like a spinning compass, running to this or to that, to this thing or to that thing, buying this or buying that, implanting this or implanting that, escaping to this or escaping to that, hoping that if they just get into that house that they want, if they can just get that job that they want, if they can get their finances to a certain level, if they can just get their weight down to a certain level, or if they were only like that other person, then their life would be complete. And it's tragic. The amount of time and energy, sweat and worry we waste in this life trying to do anything other than to do life God's way, trying to be anyone other than who God has made us to be and who he's calling us to be in this moment, in this day. Your true north, our true north, will never be found apart from God. His word is a lamp for the present and a light to our future. Now, I know it's possible to read the word of God every single day and miss God altogether. Ever consider the reality that Satan knows the scriptures better than you? Have you ever thought back? In fact, we read it in the Gospels that the Pharisees knew the scriptures better than any of us in this room today. And they missed God in the flesh. Because it's not just Bible reading that I'm talking about today. It's how we hold the Bible, how we approach the Bible, how we respond to what the Bible says. Ultimately, who we will be, the God of our life. Whom we have made the God of our life. If we try to study the Bible while putting ourselves first in line, it will never work. But if we study the Bible with an open, humble, attentive heart and let God be the leader of our life, then the Word of God goes to work, transforming us and through us our world. And I'm not so naive to think that every Parksider here today is going to hear my words, hear his words, and go home and read the Bible for 365 days straight. But I know this, that if you keep fighting and you keep connecting with the family of Parkside, if you keep falling on your knees to confess, keep yielding yourself to the Spirit of God, with each year your commitment to God will strengthen, and with it your love for Him. Like a 60-year marriage, it won't be easy. But persevere, work hard, stay humble, choose to love, and you'll find yourself one day more in love than ever before. You know what excites me most about today in this moment? Is the capacity or potential of the Word of God to take root in our hearts and in our lives and transform you into a different person, a better person, the unique person that God has called and created to be. You without the death, you without the sin, that's the person, the different person that God has created and called you to be. I know that if you draw a line in the sand here today and choose to trust in God and push yourself to daily get into the Word, you will become a kinder person, you will become a wiser person, you will become a more generous person, and you'll become even a happier person. I know that if you humble yourself before God's Word, He will lead you into spaces and places that you never thought possible. And your life will impact others in ways that you never saw possible. I know that if you persevere and push through the days and seasons where you don't have it in you, where you don't feel like doing devotions, it will produce in you something that both your peers and those that follow you will want to emulate. They will honor you with trying to follow you in your footsteps, and your words will carry a greater weight. You know what excites me about today? The knowledge that the Word of God can take an average, dysfunctional home and turn it into a greenhouse for life and flourishing. That the Word of God is the very blueprint to turn around your family and your future generations that come from your home. I look around in our town and in our church, and I see families struggling, marriages struggling, kids struggling, finances, anxiety, relationships are, many are depleted. And I want you to know that it doesn't have to be like that. You can thrive in the darkness. It might not always look, though, like thriving by the world's standards, the world's measurements. But as for your inner health and outlook, it will have never been better. I know without a doubt that there are two versions of you. Two versions of your marriage. Two versions of your family. And the difference between those two versions is how well you engage and live out the Word of God. Life without the book may be filled with riches, earthly riches, the praise of man, but it will leave you wanting. You will be a poor, lonely, disconnected, miserable individual. But life with the book, according to the book, will leave you wanting nothing, even if by earthly measurements you have nothing. You'll be more than satisfied regardless of your bank account or trophy case. You'll feel the richest, most loved and blessed person on the planet. The difference between the two versions of your life is described beautifully in Psalm 1. We can throw it up on the screen. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers." That's describing one version of your life when you live your life apart from the book. Verse 2, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law," he's talking about the word of God, "he meditates day and night." And this is what becomes of your life. "He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and all he does, he prospers." I think if the psalmist were to write this today in mission, he would have drawn an analogy from our recent ice storm. And you notice all of the trees that buckled under the pressure, they were the deciduous ones. The evergreens, they stood strong and tall and withstood the storms of this last season. That is a very visual picture of what your life could be like. There's two versions of your life. One will lead to brokenness and desolation. One will lead to life. This is so important. It's so good. It's so beautiful, so fun and life-giving that if I had the time and the capacity to be in more than one place at a given moment, you know what I would do for you, Parkside? Every morning, I would drive to your house at 5 a.m. And I would break into your house, or hopefully you'd give me a key, and I'd go up to your bedroom, and I'd bang pots and pans, and I would sing a unique custom song to get you out of bed and to wake up, and you'd either smile and be up because you found it humorous, or you would want to hit me and you would get up out of bed. And either way, I wouldn't care if you loved me or hated me because you'd be awake. You'd be up. And I would make coffee for you. And I'd cook you bacon and eggs. Pop the toast at the right moment so it's ready right at the end. And all the time, I would do it with the biggest grin on my face. You know why? It's similar to how when you cook something for someone really special, and you've made something really special, and you want to see them taste it and eat it, and you wait for that moment that the taste buds register with the brain, and there's that moment of ecstasy where they're like, "Oh, it is so good." And they get that smile, and they taste what you taste. They're enjoying what you enjoy. That whole time that I've been making you coffee and bacon and eggs and banging pots and pans and singing you a custom song just to get out of bed, I would have a grin from ear to ear on my face, knowing that as I'm making you breakfast, you'd be over there on your couch, your chair, wherever you like to read, and you'd be opening up God's word, and I'd be waiting for that smile to go on your face as you taste what I taste, as you experience what I experience in opening God's word. For that moment, that eureka moment when the light goes on and everything from your outside, inside, and inside, outside just click, 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 clicks into place. And you see God and you hear him speak and his truth and his love and his beauty and his plans and his life, for your marriage, for your family come to light. And you taste it and you see it and you're delighted in it. And it begins to produce in you something new. And you know what? I would do that for you each and every day for at least a year straight. Knowing that after a year, you would begin to see the difference in your life. Knowing that after a year, your spouse and your kids and your neighbors and coworkers would begin to see a difference in your life. And after 10 years of you doing that, you'd look back and you'd be a much different person. You would probably forever worship at my feet in gratitude for showing you the riches of God in Christ through his word. thankfully, you won't worship me because I can't do that. I am not God. But his spirit is there and his spirit is with you. And do you know that he even sings over you a unique song? He's not going to cook your bacon and eggs, so I'm sorry. You got to do that yourself. But I see it every single day, the difference between those individuals, those couples, those families that love God and his word, and those that seek to use God and his word for selfish gain. I see the difference in lives over the long span and even in the short term. And oh, does it break my heart to see people wasting their lives on things that do not matter, chasing dreams that are only illusions or only for earthly gain, and hurting others in the process of putting self first, of derailing what your life could be and the impact of what your life could be or should be in God compared to all of that now stopped because of a response, selfish response to God. When we do that, we are fools. Matthew 7, Jesus says in verse 24, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching. If you want to build a life of substance, a life that enjoys and brings glory to your Maker and Savior, then for heaven's sake, daily study the Word of God. And if you struggle with doing this, welcome to the club. Everyone does. And if you want some help, I'm sorry, I can't wake you up and bang pots and pans. But I can give you something that helps me. As an aid to the Spirit of God, I have a gift for you today. It's Free Gift Sunday, in case you didn't know that. Some of you will be delighted, others will be disappointed. Okay? I just know that. It's called a life journal, okay? And yes, it's just a journal. Now, this one's a little more special than your average journal that you pick up at Chapters because it's customized to daily engaging in the Word of God, okay? It's an aid to the Holy Spirit, to the instructions of God's Word. But if you commit yourself to digesting the Word of God on a daily basis, this is a gift that keeps on giving. This is a gift that will transform your life. And by your life being transformed, you will transform other lives and future generations. I can't help but feel like it's Christmas morning all over again. And I'm like a 5-year-old, and my dad's wheeling that brand new bike into the room with a bow with my name on it. Now, unless you have a system already in place that works well for you, I would be over the moon if you adopted this life journal system as your own. It has 2 reading plans already written in there for you, okay? It has the classic reading plan, which is a 15 to 20 minute read of scripture each day. Combined with journaling and those kinds of things, we all need about an hour a day, I find, to really digest properly and not just throw fast food in our face, to really digest the Word of God. So there's a classic reading plan, and if you do that, you'll read through the Bible once, actually the Old Testament once and the New Testament twice in the course of a year. And if you're a real eager beaver out there, I find a great way to do devotions is to change the translation each year, because each translation has little nuances that kind of flip the switch in perspective and thoughts on things. Then if 15 to 20 minutes of reading scripture is too intense for you, and I get that, there's the express reading plan, the fast food version, okay? And this is 5 to 10 minutes of reading scripture. And it's just select passages from the classic reading plan that you can read and journal about. Now, if you don't like printed Bibles and journals and you prefer to do everything online, that's fine as well, too. The Life Journal reading plan is actually available on the app, the YouVersion Bible app. You can just search for it, and it'll remind you every day and pull up the scriptures automatically for you, and you can read through them. If you have your own favorite journal and you don't like this little black free gift that we're going to give you today, then you can have your own journal. And if you just want the reading plan, there's a printed one at the back, and you can take that home with you as well. If there's an overwhelming demand for this Life Journal today, we have limited the supply. There will be a list. You can sign up your name, and we'll get you one in the next week or two, and you'll just have to do chicken scratch on your own lousy journal, okay, in the interim, okay, and pick up a reading plan as well. But it gets better, this little free gift, actually, because you write each day. It's got a method of how to do your devotions. It's called SOAP, S-O-A-P, Scripture, Observation, Application, Prayer. And actually, when I journal in mine, I write S-O-A-P. And so Scripture, I write out this, the one verse or phrase that really jumped off the page at me that I want to take some time digesting and mining for profitability for my life and my purposes on this planet. Then I write the O, observation, what on earth is God saying through this obscure piece of passage? Then A, I write application, what am I going to do about it? What action needs to be adopted into my life as a result of this? And then P, I write out the prayer that comes from that, saying, Lord, help me with this. And it brings it back to my love for God and the relationship that this is all for and connected to. So it's a really simple thing. And there's even instructions at the beginning of how to do that SOAP Bible journal reading method. And again, that's printed at the back if you don't get one of these today as well. But it gets better, okay? I feel like I'm on an infomercial. On the back, there's room for a prayer list. And it's got the date and what the prayer is, and then an answered column. I love that. Almost half of my prayer items have a check mark on them already this year from answered prayer. And you write that down. And so right there in my time with the Lord in the morning, I've got what I'm to read, I got the way I'm going to read it, I got how I'm going to study it, what I'm going to get from it, and mine from it, and adopt and apply to my life. I'm going to have other points as well as I turn to the back for my prayer list to remember to pray for people in my family, in my church, in my neighborhood. And then as I go over this list, oh yeah, they talked to me yesterday. Boom, all good. Praise you, God, for answering that prayer. And you kind of move on like that. So that's all in this one little life journal, okay? And so on your way out today, you can pick up one of those. Like I said, if you've already got a system in place that's working for you, don't fix what's already working, okay? Just do that system, that's fine. But if you are in need of a good system, a new system, a first-time system, then start there. And by the way, oh, this is going to be the best thing that you're ever going to hear from me today, okay? Well, maybe not the best, second best thing next to get into God's Word. This reading plan thing, okay, where are we here? Okay, this reading plan thing, you will guaranteed get behind because January 1st, January 2nd, January 3rd, okay? And then you'll feel like a complete loser because you're not keeping up with the pace, okay? We've all been there. You're probably not going to make it 365 days straight. There's going to be the odd day where you're going to miss. So don't get too bent out of shape if you're reading January 3rd on January 10th. At least you're reading, okay? Just follow along with it. And if you get way behind, okay, that's okay, you're behind, okay? Don't beat yourself up over it. Just say, okay, I had a few rough days here where I forgot my love for God. Thank you. That's what it is. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, your patience with me, and help me now as I get back into your word here this morning to fall more in love with you. And thank you for your faithfulness to me, even when I'm not faithful to you. And you just get back up, and all of a sudden now you're reading January 3rd on January 30th. I don't know what it will be, but you're in there, and that's what matters. And you're fighting the fight, and you're going for it, and you're persevering, even though you're not perfect. And that's one of the main points of this whole life and this whole journey that we're on. So just kind of go through that. Now, your postcard, Eugene, can you hold it up there? I didn't put one on the pulpit here. Your postcard with a verse, it actually has the reading plan on the back as well. So each month we'll put that new thing, because I find it helpful. Otherwise, instead I'm flipping in this life journal back and forth. What am I supposed to read? Oh, you know, New Testament passage I'm supposed to read next. I just stick it as a bookmark in the Bible, the postcard. So then I'm memorizing the verse, as well as a quick reference guide for the scriptures that I'm supposed to be in for that day. So if we run out this morning, praise the Lord. That will be an answer to prayer. And like I said, put your name on the list, and we'll pick up more. And in the meantime, just start it on your own.